We are back on your radio again. It is the time of the day, the time of the evening where we are coming to you live from our Pretoria studios to the communities of Mpumalanga through the community radio stations based in Mpumalanga. We are connected to 11 community radio stations, Bushbuck Ridge FM, Inakekelwe FM, Kanyamazane FM, Ligwa FM, Mesh FM, AA2 FM, Ngomazi FM, RFM, Radio Alpha, and Voice of Hope, as well as Voice of the Community. Good evening and welcome to this special broadcast. It is brought to you by Government Communication and Information System. And tonight we are discussing sexual orientation, gender identity, expression, and sex characteristics matters, brought to you by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. And joining us for the discussion on the rights of the LGBTI persons tonight is Ms. Busisiwe Dlamini from the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, as well as Ntutuzo Dzomo, who is the National Task Team member, also part of the Provincial Task Team in Mpumalanga. What are we discussing today? We are discussing the departmental efforts in ensuring protection against violence and discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, expression, and sexual characteristics. To those in the know, they will just call it acronymly, so SOGSC. And we are educating our communities tonight on the human rights of LGBTQI community as part of the South African society, because the categorization does not say anybody is exclusive, anybody is normal or abnormal. We're not actually on that narrative. The narrative is to make sure that every South African feels the importance of having rights in this country. Public awareness is important on the work of the LGBTQI National Task Team and the Provincial Task Team. The National Intervention Strategy is the holistic strategic document that looks into the LGBTQI sector's rights, which are focused on victim-centric approach in countering discrimination, hate crimes, gender-based violence, and femicide, which is perpetrated against people on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, and sex characteristics, as already alluded. Otherwise, join us as the Mpumalanga community on 0800-142-446. It is the number to dial. It is toll-free from your landline. However, you can use your cell phone and we'll be able to call you back so that we save you airtime and really get to that valuable contribution that you want to make to the radio station, to the radio listeners tonight. My name, Kimosuthu Stone, and as I've already alluded, let me greet and welcome my guest tonight. Sis Busi is a LGBTI program manager. Good evening, Sis Busi.
Good evening, Putwami. What a beautiful introduction there.
Thank you so very much, and you're welcome. And since last week we talked, and I believe we are going to extend this discussion into more practical examples, as well as, you know, aligning them to the policy as well as the constitution of our country. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. From the National Task Team, Ntutuzo Dzomo is also the Provincial Task Team. Good evening and welcome to this special broadcast.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you for having me and for opening a space to discuss such issues. I'm very excited to be part of this discussion.
Thank you so very much. And at 11 minutes past 6, we welcome you also on WhatsApp on 065-935-5488. 065-935-5488. That is the number to send your voice messages as well as your text messages. Otherwise, if you want to speak to us directly, use the toll-free number 0800-142-446. Sis Busi, let's talk and reiterate the fundamental document, which is the National Intervention Strategy for the LGBTI sector. What are we talking about, and what do we want the audience to understand about this intervention strategy?
Okay. The National Intervention Strategy for the LGBTQI plus sector is a strategy that has been developed by the National Task Team that was established by the former Minister Obabu Jeff Khatebe in 2011. And this entity, it comprises of civil society organizations, key government departments, and Chapter 9 institutions. Umtutuzo, that is with me today here, is from a civil society organization, and they are serving on the National Task Team and also on the Provincial Task Team. So this intervention strategy, a main objective yayo is to address the challenges in our hate crimes that are perpetrated against people on the basis of their sexual orientation, gender identity, expression, and sex characteristics.
All right. Now, as you have already alluded, Untutuzo is part of this from the civil society. But now, how is it composed? Who sits in the National Intervention Strategy and also on the National Task Team? What does it comprise of? Which organizations, which departments, if you might just give us a bit of light on that?
Okay. So the entity, people that are making up the entity, it's a key government department, that is NPA. We have SAPS, we have education, we have home affairs, we have health, we have TSD, we have COCTA. We also have women, that is in the presidency.
Yes.
And then we also have correctional services. I hope I'm not leaving any other department out in Tutuzo.
Also, COCTA, I believe it's COCTA, part of it as well. Yeah.
Yes, COCTA too. And then we have civil society organizations. You'll remember that in each and every province, we have civil society organizations that are working on the ground with communities and victims. So from the provinces, some provinces, they will then nominate people from Puma civil society organizations who come and serve on the entity. So I'm a province now, and I'm a provincial task team. So a provincial task team will then what? Nominate people who Tambani Pela, also represent a national task team.
Yes, yes.
And then you also have Chapter 9 institutions, which is the South African Human Rights Commission, your commission is gender equality.
All right. All right, and some of those national civil organizations include the Out LGBT Wellbeing Forum for the Empowerment of Women, SANAC LGBTI Sector Triangle Project, Lulekisizwe Gender Dynamics, Intersex South Africa, Lifeline Southern Africa, Access Chapter 2, which is based in Pretoria, and the Foundation for Human Rights, as well as
Iranti.
Iranti.org. Yes, most definitely. Now, Ntutuzo, let's talk. I'm deliberately mentioning all these civil society organizations simply because today I would like us to focus mainly on the last three letters of this acronym LGBTQI plus. You know, under normal Sisbusi, you know, many of our people, I'm sure government and departments must commend themselves for knowing that our community is actually very much aware about the first three letters, the LGB, you know, the lesbian, the gay, and the bisexuals. But the transsexuals, the transgenders, and the queer, as well as the intersex, seem to be a bit of a complicated topic as we speak, simply because they seem to be quite very few in numbers in our societies, and in many cases might not even form part of the membership of the organizations I've just mentioned. So, Ntutuzo, let's talk about the three letters in terms of bringing them on board to actually be an equal part of this discussion. You know, in Mpumalanga, for instance, what are your issues, what are your dynamics, including your interaction with the members who happen to be on the three letters that I've just mentioned?
Thank you for that. Just to also point out, I am part of the national task team.
Yes.
And also I'm part of the rapid response task team, but I am not part of the provincial task team from Mpumalanga. But I'll speak quite broadly, just on the last three letters that that you've alluded to. So I think the most important thing, first and foremost, before we even move to actually understanding the last three letters of, you know, the LGBTQI+, we need to first understand what we mean when we talk about sexual orientation. And this is one of the most powerful things that the National Task Team has been trying to advocate for.
Mm.
And this is one of the things that is actually, you know, highlighted on the NIS document that, you know, the Department of Justice, through working closely with the other civil society organizations that are part of the PTT, is trying to outline. So we need to first understand what we mean when we talk about sexual orientation, what we're talking about when we talk about gender identity, gender expression, etc. So before maybe moving to those three alphabets, maybe I could go through an exercise of just explaining some of those things so that your viewers and maybe also yourself, you have a better understanding of what we mean. Because most of the time we use these terms and you find that, you know, several South Africans or people around the world get a bit lost when what we mean by those terms.
Mm.
So when we talk about sexual orientation is a person's identity in relation to the gender or genders that they are attracted to. For example, myself as someone who identifies as a male, I am attracted to, you know, men, or I'm attracted to both men and women. And then when we talk about gender identity, it's the personal sense of, you know, of what it's the personal sense of one's own gender. So we all know that when you are born, the doctor tells you whether you're male or female.
Mm.
And this is based on the organs that actually appear before the doctor and the nurses that deliver you into this world. And they try and oversimplify it. And I want to use the word oversimplify it by basing it on only what they can see. And then there's also gender expression, where it's the way in which a person expresses their gender identity. So we've spoken about the gender identity, that when you are born, the doctor says that you are male or female. But at certain moments, you'll find that your gender identity, you don't actually relate to it. For example, you are born as a male, but you identify as a female. Born within yourself, you identify as a female. And then, you're born as a male again. Oh, you're born as a female, but you identify as a male. And then that will take us now to the three or the two last letters of the LGBTQI+. So when you talk about people who are transgender, people who are transgender, it's people that are born and are given, you know, a sex by the doctor, based on what the doctor actually sees. But the person is not does not identify with the gender that they were given at birth. Now, remember I said that the gender that you're given at birth is determined by the nurses and the doctor. But if the person develops and grows up, they realize that they don't identify with that gender.
And you're known to do... Oh, sorry, you're not done this yet. You can finish off?
Sorry
about that.
I'm taking a lot of time. but then there's people who are born intersex. So now, if you are born intersex, again, going back to the doctors and the nurses analogy that I have given, now you are born and you find that, you know, your sex organs are not quite, they become sometimes not clear to the doctor or the nurses. So one is born with both genitalia, one is born with, like, you know, well, let's say, you know, the male genitalia or the female genitalia, but inside their bodies, for example, for a female, they don't have the female organs, or inside their bodies, the male does not have the male organs.
Mm.
So we usually say that, you know, like they are ambiguous from birth. And what tends to happen in South Africa is that the doctors, based on how you are born, will then decide whether you're going to be male or female without even waiting for the development of your own body to actually indicate whether your body actually falls to the male side or falls to the female side.
Mm.
And in the cases that we've dealt with as Iran, you'll find that certain people, there were surgeries that were done to them that have created complications as they have grown up throughout the years. And you'll find that it's because the doctors are trying to, they call it rectifying, as if it's a mistake for you to be born intersex. And it has left many intersex persons around South Africa quite scarred. And this is mainly because, you know, even the information relating to intersex-born children is not widespread. And there's still a lot of, like, stigma surrounding children that are born in intersex. And this is one of the beautiful things that the National Task Team has been trying to do, to provide that education to the mother that walks into a maternity ward, for them to understand that if your child is born with ambiguous genitalia, that does not mean that it's a disorder that they have, but the child is born intersex.
Hmm.
And that education is something that is also represented on the NIS document that Sisibusi was talking about. Of course now.
Most definitely. Quite a mouthful indeed. And you actually even responded to something I wanted to add as an additional question. But yeah. Sisibusi, based on what Ntutuzo is alluding to, it boils down to the identification of the LGBTI communities, starting from our hospitals. And I would like you to take me off the speaker because it's making quite a very bad technical sound from our side and actually hampering our broadcast. Don't say I'm a prophet. I'm predicting that you have me on speaker. I know technically how it happens. But getting back to our conversation, Sisibusi, it boils down to the formation and the format of our documentation in terms of identifying human beings right from the beginning at the hospital, where we give much powers to our health practitioners to actually deliver the identity of a human being at that time, to a point where maybe the parents might be traditional or religious enough not to actually explore what it means for somebody to be in the category of LGBTI. And, you know, I'm looking at a story here that speaks to our recent census campaign. It speaks about the Census 22 campaign questionnaire. And the LGBTQI community has complaints to the Statistics South Africa saying that sex questions would only refer to the biological makeup of a person or the sex that is assigned at birth. And the group says that the questionnaire is not in line with the South African Constitution, which recognizes the diverse sexual orientations that exist in the country. Now, let's start about this formation of this document. You know, Home Affairs is having a problem. SAPS is having a problem. Now, Census is having a problem. And we are in discussion about something that should constitutionally be appearing on these forms. What are we saying to that regard?
Let me just mention that in 2019, we went on a study tour. It was led by our Deputy Minister of Justice, Deputy Minister of Home Affairs, and then we had a representative from the Department of Health, a professor.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were traveling with Iranti, where Ntutuzo is from, and then Iranti and Intersex South Africa.
Yes.
The purpose of the study tour was to go and learn, you know, sharing of information on how Malta and Brussels are faring in ensuring that the rights of transgender people and intersex people are protected.
Mm.
So from those learnings, we came back and then we had a national policy dialogue on the rights of transgender people. In that dialogue, these issues were discussed.
Mm.
And Home Affairs was there. Health was in attendance. The ministers, I'm talking about the politicians now. The
yes, yes, policymakers.
Yes, the policymakers, they came there to address the event. And there was an opportunity from the civil society organization to say, hey, we see what we hear what you're saying, but the policies and legislation are not protecting us. Mm. In fact, they are violating our rights further.
Yes.
So we need to come up with recommendations. So what is happening now is that we are in the process of, Home Affairs is in the process of reviewing. There's legislation. They came up with a, they are working on section 142, so section 49, eh?
Yes, section 49.
Yeah, that has to do with legal gender recognition, like in Bozama ID, and then we also have e-health. Health also has to address this problem of intersex genital mutilation. Lento kutumtwana when they are born as a spendele, the way the Russian are called, both genitalia, and then the suto to buzu mama, ama parents, to say, yipisishiyeyipi. Logo in the long run, ilimazumtwana. Because now we are saying, in order for us to ensure ukuthi ama rights awo wonke umuntu la in this country are protected, you know, is that umntwana ayekwe akhule athi masekakhulile yena azazi i-gender identity yakhe, everything, uza decide ukuthi this is who I want to be. They might not even remove anything, you understand? But umntwana loyo is a human being on a right. So these are some of the things that we have learned in Malta, nase Brussels, that we are currently addressing. And also, we have revised the national intervention strategy to also include those matters.
Yes. Now, somebody's asking, Sisbusi, here that it's more of a suggestion, actually, to say, wouldn't it be fair if the ID document, when it's produced for a 16-year-old, it comes with an option of confirming your personally confirming your own identity, particularly based on sex orientation, sex characteristics, and the likes. Does the Constitution have an option to actually give that particular option to our society to actually say, fine, at birth, you couldn't even speak for yourself, it's all good. But now here you are 16 years and above, and the state expects you to have an identity document. Are you able to apply some way, somehow, to say, look, I would like to be addressed in this way in terms of sexual orientation?
Let me say that when one applies for an ID, it is taken that manje you have a right to vote, isn't it? Or voting at 18?
Yes, at 18.
At 18, but if you have an identity, as Landela, you should have that right. But again, I would say to you, ukuthi what should appear on a form or a document, government should not come up with that on their own. It must be done in consultation or in collaboration with those that are affected, the civil society sector.
Yes, yes.
And the civil society, they are contributing so much to these processes now, especially as far as Home Affairs and SAPS are doing. They have contributed so much. So So whatever policy or legislation reform or review ezo yenzeka manje kuzobe kuukuthi ama sector trans intersex sector it has contributed and say this is how we want to see it ourselves reflected kuyo iform. So it's about working together. Spending this kati, so what is 7 sodwa. Yes, the intention is good. You understand? But then we have to understand the challenges and violations that the LGBTQI plus sector are experiencing.
Yes, yes. All right. That is the voice of Sisibusisiwe Dlamini. She's with the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. And her role is being an LGBTI program manager. And that means she's able to facilitate quite a number of issues and interactions with the LGBTQI community in South Africa, and also work with the National Task Team as well, Isen Tutuzo Nzomo, who is making sure that, you know, issues are being raised, facilitating all these different civil organizations to come on board to make a meaningful contribution, which to some point, I hope, Ntutuzo, it will be able to influence the constitution as much as possible. We now have a new Chief Justice who might be listening to all those issues, and with hope that, you know, they will be quite very lenient towards accommodating to a point of total equality, what I call total equality. Now, Ntutuzo, we're having an issue here with schools where, you know, in our own African languages, we always believe that, you know, education acquired at a young age instills, you know, something of like a lifetime orientation of life. You know, where in our life orientation subjects, our social science subjects in our schools, we do not find the issues of LGBTI being discussed openly, as open as when as a biology teacher when he's teaching about male and female. You know, people grab very fast, but now to a point where it might cause things like bullying, because at some point here is an individual who's a school girl or a school boy who is making others curious, and once they get to the toilets, they lock him in one of the toilets and want to take off their clothes to want to see what's what do they have and all that kind of stuff, you know. And it all boils down to education. And it is quite very interesting in terms of the inroads that are made by the National Task Team as well as the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development in leveraging that situation to ensure that orientation in terms of life science, in terms of social science, in terms of life orientation is concerned. Those are integrated into the curriculum of basic education. What do you have to say on that one, Tutuzo? And also, Sisibusi, I would really pose the same question to you to say, what are the inroads that we are making to ensure that, you know, the Department of Basic Education comes on board with a curriculum that is inclusive?
Thank you for that question.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if you can come closer to your microphone on your, so that, you know, our audience is able to hear you as if like you're speaking directly to their ear, Ntutuzo.
Load shedding problems.
That's what we live with in South Africa, unfortunately.
Yeah, but the point I was making is that, you know, the way the national task team is structured, as Sisibusi has highlighted, different departments are meant to actually consist of it, and it happens that the Department of Basic Education also is part of it. And some of these problems that you've highlighted are some of the problems that, you know, civil society organizations have raised with the Department of Basic Education. And quite recently, we also saw in the news the issue of uniforms, where children who wanted to express themselves in a certain way were denied that because it was said that it's against, you know, the school policy. It's against, you know, the policy that exists nationally on how children are meant to be dressed and all of those things. And we're trying to also bring back that those discussions on the table to actually for not only, you know, the Department of Basic Education, also for the teachers, the principals, the people within the districts, to start, you know, introspecting on the policies that that schools have.
Yes.
And this reminds me of two cases that happened in the past that are not directly linked to LGBTQI plus issues. But the first one, which happened about 5 or 6 years ago, was about a child who was Rastafarian. And because the school policy did not allow for children to come to school with drugs.
Oh, yes, 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 I remember that story.
And that case, you know, even went so far to reach the National Department. It was in the Western Cape, where the school and also the Western Cape government were refusing to acknowledge this child's religion, and it even went to the National Department. And it proved at that moment, like 5 or 6 years ago, that there was a problem with the uniform policy nationally. And the second one is quite a recent case about children that are going through, like, the Sangoma training, where you have to go, wherever you go, you need to make sure that you're wearing a mahia. You have beads, like, all over your body. And certain schools would refuse children to actually come to school like that. They would ask them to remove them without understanding that, you know, this is something which is embedded and that's part of the child that's going to the school. And and with the recent case where a child was refused to wear a certain way, still wearing the uniform, not changing the uniform. It's not like they came with like yellow and green colors to the school uniform. Just that they said that the uniform, the pants that you're giving me, this is not what I identify with. I'd rather actually wear a dress because that's my gender expression as a learner. And it's something that actually started within the province context and moved also to national, where only now that there's scrutiny over, you know, the issue of uniform in schools. And as a sector, we're not saying that, you know, it's wrong to have school uniform, but we're saying that be aware and be informed that what you are imposing to a child, it could be not, that could not be their gender expression, and people need to be quite informed and aware of that. I also just want to quickly add to something that this is what I was talking about, based on like the comment or suggestion which was made. There is policy that exists already in South Africa that speaks to children making their own choice. So, and the listener or the listener who actually made the comment that the problem is made from birth is actually telling the truth, that the biggest mistake that we make in South Africa when a child is born, because we also understand that the deciders, it's only the doctor, and the parent is only consulted, and most of the time you find that the parent goes with what the doctor says. And I always make this example that when it comes to whether you are male or female, the doctor is the god, and whatever recommendation they make to the parent will go with that recommendation. And it's like you and me. If today, you know, we go to the doctor and they say we need to remove one of our fingers or we will die in 3 days' time, we will do that. And we're saying that such messages are very problematic, and there needs to be a lot of education on them.
0800-142-446. I am in discussion about sexual orientation, gender identity expression, and sex characteristics. And this discussion is held amongst me and Busisiwe Dlamini, the LGBTI program manager, as well as Ntutuzo Nzomo. He's with the national task team. And we are trying to dismantle the intolerance, the stigma, All you can say, hate crimes, gender-based violence, and femicide, which is perpetrated against people on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity expression, as well as sex characteristics. Now, you can join this conversation because I believe on 11 radio stations, there should be 100 people that we can actually speak and discuss with, because they probably our sisters, they are our niece, they are our aunts, they are our uncles, and sometimes it's an old granddad who has been in the closet for 70 years, you know, and it is his time today, he's listening, and you're welcome to just send us a text, maybe to give us your sentiments, to ask questions in terms of the legal framework of the protection of the rights of the LGBTQI. And you can send a voice note if maybe you got jitters to speak live on air. Unlike me, I'm here because I'm only speaking the truth. So I don't think there's any jitters I could have against speaking the truth. And 065-935-5488. That is the number to send your voice notes on, as well as your text messages. However, if you can do it live and you are able to speak to us directly, and sometimes you are quite well-versed, more than me and Busi and Tutuzo, in terms of advising on some of the experiences you might have. And also being a member of the LGBTQI community, you know, just to add your voice towards the logic, towards the prosperity and the love that we need to be giving to the whole South African community. And this time around, talking around LGBTQI persons. And also maybe you might be part of the transgender, the queer or the intersex group. And that one I'm interested in mainly so because, you know, it is one of those vulnerable, marginalized groups within the LGBTQI plus communities. Because I can tell you, Ntutuzo, most of the organizations, they still not actually. Somebody actually yesterday was even commenting around the self-hate amongst the LGBTQI community, where transgender, queer, and intersex might not even find its voice expressed through the organizations which are mostly focused on LGB. And is that the case with Mpumalanga, or maybe with at the national level, where it is a challenge to actually hear the voices of the TQI plus? Yeah, I think Tutuzo needs to take it up, and then Busi, where okay. You need to come in, please do.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I think also, Tutuzo, you also comment on this. The number of cases that we've received of hate crimes, of murders, of rape.
And self-discrimination. Don't forget that one, because that's my whole point here, to say a lesbian person or a gay person might be undermining the rights of a TQI.
Yes, I'm not excluding that. Mm. But the number of hate crimes, when you check the stats, you'll find that several trans women are actually the victims of hate crimes in our community.
Most definitely.
And it comes from people that, it comes from relatives, it comes from friends, people that they sit with on a daily basis. And also it comes with people that they socialize with. And within the LGBTQI plus community, there also seems to be lack of understanding and also knowledge about people who are transgender and people that are intersex. Mm. And although there's a lot of work that the sector has done to try and do, you know, internal education, there's still a lot that needs to be done within the sector to make sure that members of the LGBTQI plus community also have a better understanding about, you know, trans and intersex persons. Mm. And this is not a new phenomenon. It was the same thing, quite early on, like in the 80s or 70s, where the main discussion was about gay men, and there was exclusion of transgender people. There was exclusion of lesbian women. It only took several years for lesbian women to actually say that I also, you know, am a person alone and not associated with being a gay man. I also exist. And that's what the transgender community has been trying to do in the past few years, to say that I also need to be recognized first by the community that I fall into, but I also need to be recognized by people that are external or allies that are external from the community.
Mm.
And the only way for us to ensure that, you know, there's broad awareness of issues that relate to transgender persons in this country and in the world, the first needs to be, you know, realization and confirmation and comfort that is provided by members of the LGBTQI plus community, transgender and intersex persons.
Yes. Sis Busi, you can come in then.
Okay, thank you. I would like to just address that question, education.
Yes, ma'am.
To say that all the points that Untutuzo raised, yes, correct. And then also to add that with the revised national intervention strategy, we have decided that now we're going to tackle this problem from the training phase. We're going to target AMA training colleges for teachers, your TVETs, where we'll need to train and sensitize them. That one is trained at this level, gets qualification, and then when it comes to practice, you know, you come across umntwana of a different sexual orientation from yourself, and then you use your own biases.
Mm.
Because we have experienced that the same teachers that are supposed to be protecting abantwana are the ones that are ridiculing abantwana, are the ones that are violating ama rights abantwana.
Mm.
So we are going to do that through a national intervention strategy. And also to mention that I always say, like people will say, let's say the LGBTI sector, each community has its own challenges.
Yes.
Ama challenges that are faced, for an example, by the L community might not be the same as those that are faced by the T.
Very true.
So I wouldn't say Bona as like a sector, they discriminate against each other.
Mm.
I think it's when someone expresses themselves, like my voice has to be heard. As one from the L sector, you know, and then none from the T. I'm saying that, you know what, my rights have been violated. Kanje na kanje. It's not fighting. All that we want, Tina, is that each and every community must raise their voice and say we are not covered by the strategic, the national intervention strategy. Tina is covered. We cover these sectors. They understand these communities. So here are our issues. Please also include them. So this is what we have been doing.
All right. And, coming to...
Sorry, Put.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's revise a national intervention strategy. Sizoi launch soon, and we will be going around throughout the country, popularizing it so that people not only hear about it, but by bone, we need everyone song. I think there any 7 so that we make a difference in Pilwenza Zetu song, especially the LGBTQ I sector.
All right. We're talking sexual orientation characteristics and gender equality as well as LGBTI issues on your Mpumalanga radio stations, Bushbuck Ridge FM, Inakekelwa FM, Kanyamazan FM, Ligwa FM in MLO, Mesh FM, Komashishing, AA2, as well as Inangagelo are based in Siabuswa, and Komazi FM, Rise FM, which is in Akon Hook, Radio Alpha, Voice of Hope, and Voice of the Community down in MLO. So, do get in touch with us. Are you part of the LGBTQI community? You need your voice be raised and be represented. Do call us on 0800-142-446. That's the number to dial on a toll-free number. It's a landline. And however, if you're using your cell phone, do call in. There's a guy called Unalin now on the other side. He's working with me right here. And he will be taking your calls and most definitely offer to call you back just so that you are able to have a conversation with us. Now, Sisbusi and Tutuzo, you know, another dimension here is the health of the LGBTQI community. And I'm going to pick one comment by Roche Kester, who is the director of the Gauteng LGBTI desk, who said similarly claims that medical professionals directly or indirectly discriminate against LGBTI persons by misgendering individuals, you know, breaking confidentiality at facilities and asking intrusive questions, you know. She further explains that transgender individuals experience health risks, such as an increased risk of mental illness, substance abuse, and suicide, as well as an increased prevalence of HIV due to discrimination, which ranges from verbal abuse to the denial of care. You know, many LGBTQI individuals are hesitant to visit healthcare providers and will often delay seeking health services. Now, Sisbusi, for me, the Constitution is the supreme law of this country. How do we compel medical practitioners? And I'm going to exclude traditional healers on this because in my way of thinking, traditional healers have been working with the LGBTQI community for generations. I mean, if you have never been to a sangoma or a inyanga and stuff, there is no way that you will go there and not find a member of the LGBTQI community, to a point where even when your heterosexuals, your traditional leaders and your baruti have a problem, a spiritual problem that needs traditional healing, they won't even think twice to judge an LGBTQI member helping them to that point. So what's the problem when it comes to formal health being medicine, you know, what we recognize as medicine? Are we able to compel them constitutionally to have a code of conduct that is able to enhance their way of working with the LGBTQI community?
But every public servant, la servants are corner, you call any code of conduct. Except you corner health, bafunga nabanyithi. Every government department. The problem or the challenge that we are faced with, the attitude sabantu. I can say, or niti na imina ikodo of lona yami nipete. But if my attitude, ile yoguti, umuntu o different from me, anyege nyim treated like I would treat umuntu that I perceive, uguti ufana nam.
Yes.
Ikala lapho.
Zikhona
zona, but these are the concerns that the sector has been raising. But yes, you've got your policies, you've got your code of conduct, but you are not implementing them. That is why sadness means when we are victims of hate crime, rape, you name it, we are reluctant to go to eat and seek health services because when we get there, we experience secondary victimization. We have this good national intervention strategy. We have this focus area that is on training.
Yes.
We've started training since 2020, but Gangani, you know, we still have a long way to go. We are targeting all the public officials that are at service points. Guolama departments, lawa, that are providing services to victims of hate crime, with the gender-based violence, and femicide.
And Tutuzo, do you have anything to say regarding the health matters, you know, at the general level? Because I only picked up the transgender as the most vulnerable when it comes to these health issues, looking into HIV statistics and all that stuff. But at the general level, the national task team in terms of intervention, in terms of inroads, you know, decisively so, Is it helping health-wise?
Look, the violence against trans and intersex people.
Yes.
In most hospitals in South Africa. And it's something that we cannot run away from. And through our engagements with doctors, you find that there is a lack of understanding or lack of education for doctors that is provided for when they're in university. For example, when the discussion on intersex-born children, many doctors have told us that's a discussion that happens in one lecture or happens for 2 days and it's left like that. And after 7 years of doing your medical degree, you're expected to go out there to public hospitals with just one lecture that you've received that didn't actually discuss this into detail. And I tend not to blame the doctors or the nurses too much, because within higher education, there needs to be better education about issues that relate to the trans and intersex community. And they need to understand what we mean when we talk about gender-affirming healthcare. That service needs to be provided in all, if not most, of the South African hospitals, unlike the current situation we are in. Although we talk about policies that already exist within the Department of Health, the policies still need to actually be reformed, because they're not quite clear when it comes to giving the issues that relate to intersex persons that speak to people that are transgender, and that needs to be polished. And even with the NHI document, which was made public just before COVID, which meant to go to comment, there's nothing that speaks about, intersex persons or transgender persons. And that actually, leads you to panic and be bothered by the many strides that we've seen taking place in this country regarding trans and intersex persons when it comes to, law reform. Because we know and we can acknowledge and admit as a sector that, we've seen several strides from the Department of Home Affairs that they've taken to try and understand and also to try and redeem the situation by creating law reform that is going to actually speak to those things. But with health, it's quite a tricky situation where it starts from high level. And then if it's not gotten right from the high level, it's going to be tricky for you to go to a hospital in Khayelitsha and actually make sure that the doctors, the treatment of a transgender person who walks in is proper treatment and fair treatment. I don't want to push it towards the attitude of doctors and the attitude of nurses, because it was a similar situation also with HIV, if we remember a few years ago. HIV patients were mistreated by doctors and nurses when they would enter hospitals.
Yeah.
And it took some time through education and all of those things and policies and standard operating procedures and circulars that came from national to actually make sure that, a nurse will not discriminate against you as an HIV patient. And to make sure that also even the hospital manager makes sure that there's trainings that are done for the nurses and the doctors so that they don't treat patients that are HIV positive differently.
All right. And lastly, before we close off, I'm going to give each of you 2 minutes to consider your response on this one. It is quite very important as it speaks to the security of our communities through SAPS and through policing. Now, I must say that because of the legal and constitutional rights afforded to LGBTI persons, South Africa is considered to be ahead. We all agree on that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on many other African countries, I can mention Kenya, I can mention Zimbabwe, where homosexuality is still being criminalized and you can still be jailed for being yourself. But now let's look at this. South Africa's jurisprudence allows individuals to seek recourse for any violence or discrimination that they experience through the legal justice system. We have talked about that, Sis Busi, since the beginning of the program, Wenantu Tuzo, since the beginning of the program. However, while this is, and it's very exemplary on paper, In reality, the system is flawed and often leads to members of LGBTQI communities facing further discrimination and re-victimization when reporting cases at the police stations. You know, and in addition, many gay, lesbian, and transgender individuals who have reported cases of sexual and physical assault to the police, people we should be trusting, have been met with incompetence and a failure to act. You know, aside from ridiculing the survivors of these violence, police would also often refuse to take statements, you know, send survivors away when they can do is take cases. Later claim that, you know, the dockets have been lost. You know, we experience all that kind of stuff where files were never filed to begin with. And such incompetence leaves these individuals dangerously exposed to their attackers, you know, because somebody might just come and finish them off because why are you chela mapoyisa mina ngizokubulal, you know, those kind of things, who move about freely and terrorize them, you know, because they just happen to call themselves normal, as if like the LGBTQI community is not normal. And finally, the police are often complicit in committing crimes against members of sexual and gender minority groups. And, you know, the training that we are talking about, it should have started with SAPS. And what are we doing? Because for me today, the interest, quickly, so the interest is to make sure that, you know, we compel the law enforcers to actually do this the right way. I'm going to give you each 1 minute each, and then we close it off because my producers are actually saying there's other programs that need to be in there at 5 past. Starting with you, Busi.
Okay. I would say that, Butwani, the training that I kept on referring to is covering, when I say public servants at service points, it's public servants from this department, the SAPS, the NPA, health, EDFT, you know, targeting them. And also to say that SAPS, because of these concerns that were raised, my victims have been experiencing, they have developed a standard operating procedure on how to deal nama victims are reported ama hate crimes.
All right.
And this is as a result, the National Trust Team.
Yeah. Let's pass the baton to Ntutuzo very quickly. Your comments, your contribution towards that issue I alluded to you? In 1 minute, Ntutuzo, I know you can speak. In 1 minute.
So I wouldn't have a lot to do, but I'll just say to your listeners, if one has reported a case and you find that the police station is not doing anything about it, there are other avenues that you could actually reach out to.
Yeah.
Explore them. Reach out to the to an organization within your own community that deals with LGBTQI plus issues. And actually reported, there is the IPIP. And it is what you can see, right, Situbana, there is a standard operating procedure for AMA police on how to actually deal with cases that relate to the LGBTQI plus community. And it's only, and the trainings have been done, and it's only because of, you know, the attitudes of some individuals within the different, you know, communities in South Africa. I'll stop there.
Thank you so very much, Osbusi Dlamini, LGBTIQ plus program manager within the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, and no less, and to Ntutuzo Nzomo, who is responsible at the National Task Team to consolidate all these aspects that we are talking about. Thank you so very much, Nkosi, for such invaluable information as well as advice towards our LGBTQI community, including those who are in support of them, irrespective of their gender orientation and sexual orientation and characteristics. Thank you so very much. All right. And lastly, you know, there is, while South Africa is still very good at what it does, which is promoting human rights, you know, there's a dire need to for a police service that is sensitive to the LGBTQI individuals, that takes violence and discrimination against them seriously and act against it. So the state needs to be taking much more proactive measures to ensure that South African LGBTQI community, some of the most marginalized and vulnerable, just like women and children, you know, they are members of our society. They are ensured of their human rights and are protected against the inordinate levels of violence and discrimination. Thank you so very much to the Mpumalanga radio stations that do not have the audience to contribute to the LGBTQ community. I'm definitely sure in the near future we will be able to have an open expression. From me, Musoto Stone, thank you so very much to Gavin Sedler, who made sure that this sound, it sounds quite very well. Onam Hlongo, was waiting for your calls, but hey, I'm shy on a missed call otherwise, but it's all good. Thank you so very much. Musoto Stone signing off. Good night.